Welcome to Aerospace Unplugged. I'm Adam Press. Hi, everyone, and thanks for joining me again on the podcast. We have a fantastic guest today on the podcast, but before we get to him and the topic of the day, I want to ask a not-so-simple question. What do airplanes do? Well, of course, they fly, but they do something much more important. Airplanes bring people together. Whether you're taking the red eye to visit a customer, flying home to hug your mom and dad, or heading out on the adventure of a lifetime, aviation scratches the itch we humans have to make connections, visit new places, see new things, and meet others face to face. No other mode of transportation gets you from point A to point B with the safety, convenience, and speed of air travel. Now, there's no denying that aviation delivers transformative economic, social, and personal benefits. But every form of motorized transportation powered by fossil fuels comes with an environmental price tag, and air travel is no exception. That's the topic we're going to tackle today, sustainability in aviation. According to the International Civil Aviation Organization, worldwide, airline travel accounts for about 2% of greenhouse gas emissions. Unless we take steps to bend that curve, the number could triple by 2050, and passenger demand and air traffic will only continue to grow. Technology companies like Honeywell, along with airlines and aircraft manufacturers, are devoting themselves to finding the best ways to deliver the air travel experience we all crave, but while leaving behind a much smaller environmental footprint. Now, in today's episode, we'll dive into sustainability in aviation. The industry is all in, but there's also a lot of work to do. My special guest today is aerospace industry veteran Jim Currier. In August, Jim was appointed president and CEO of Honeywell Aerospace. With nearly two decades of experience at Honeywell holding a wide range of positions, he's no stranger to leading teams that solve complex problems and develop revolutionary solutions for aviation. Jim will tell us about what Honeywell is doing right now to help the industry become more sustainable, discuss a recent achievement, and we'll get his perspective on what's needed to shrink flying's environmental footprint and make carbon-neutral air travel a reality. So with no further ado, let's welcome in Jim. Thank you for joining us today on the podcast.
Thanks, Adam. I'm glad to be here.
All right, so before we jump into everything sustainability, let's get to know you a little bit better, learn about your background a little bit. So you've been in the aviation business a long time, but did you grow up an av geek or did your career just take you into aviation?
Yeah, I didn't grow up as an av geek. Right. When I was in college, I got exposed to some space-related type programs, got very interested in space at that time. And then ultimately, when I graduated, I ended up working for Pratt & Whitney. And my first job was actually designing upper-stage rocket engines for Pratt & Whitney. And it kind of just continued from there, ultimately leading some of our upper-stage rocket engine development programs, running into our single-stage to orbit launch vehicle programs at Pratt & Whitney. So once that started to happen, then it became infectious, and from that point onward, I was enamored and in love with aerospace.
Okay, so is it like you were a rocket scientist and then became CEO?
I don't know if I'd say I was a rocket scientist, but I was working in that area of the aerospace industry.
Okay, well, very, very cool way to start out. Now, you've had a handful of roles at Honeywell over the past 17, 18 years, but I'm sure it was a big adjustment when you moved into the CEO role a couple months ago. So what has that adjustment been like, and what have you learned thus far?
I'd say I would categorize the adjustment along two facets. One of them being the amount and the breadth of information that I'm covering now in this particular role. And it's not just aero-related. It's pan-Honeywell. So the exposure to the other businesses, what we're doing there, investments that we're making across the entire organization, that has been an adjustment, you know, leaning in from that capacity. And the second adjustment is that even though I've spent 17 years in Honeywell Aerospace, there are certain customers that I have not been intimately involved with and working with, whether they're Airbus is an example, Boeing, some of our defense customers as well. So that's been an adjustment. You know, getting to know those customers, their businesses a little bit better, where we are situated on their aircraft platforms and growing those relationships. On the learnings side, I would say there's kind of three things that I've had as massive learnings coming out of this. First and foremost, we've got the absolute best and brightest and most innovative employees across the organization who are the most committed that I have ever seen. I would say the second thing for me that's been a learning is that our technology, it truly is and will continue to shape the future of flight. It is the most advanced technology that is out there in the industry, is something that we should all be exceptionally proud of. And the third thing that I would say as a learning coming into this is that even though our customers are disappointed with regards to our delivery performance, they truly want us to succeed. They want us to improve. They want us to be a part of that ecosystem and the fabric of the aerospace industry. And that's really a testament to our products, our technologies, but most importantly, it's a testament of what our employees are doing for them day in and day out.
Okay. You mentioned the future of flight and how important that is to Honeywell. So let's transition now to sustainability. Why should the flying public care about sustainability in aviation? How does it matter to them?
Well, I mean, so transportation via aerospace means, it's going to continue to grow. The industry is growing. If you think about, you know, markets themselves, right now, presently, India will be probably one of the second largest growing markets worldwide. So there's that interest, that demand, you know, reconnecting with people, spending time with families and the like, which the aviation industry and the transport affords that capability. But with that becomes a responsibility. And we do have to be responsible to our planet. And with that comes a genuine interest of wanting to be responsible in providing and ensuring that our mode of transportation is done in a sustainable way. And you see that not only from people wanting to do it, but you also see in terms of legislation that is coming out, regulations that are coming out, particularly the leading element of that happening within Europe as an example. And so it is definitely not even from a personal standpoint, from people that are using those modes of transportation, but we do have that obligation, and from a legal standpoint, legislatively speaking, it will become front and center for all of us.
Okay, so let's talk about what Honeywell is doing right now to make aviation more sustainable. I know the company has work in engines and avionics and wheels and brakes, but I think there's also some areas that not as many people know about where we're really doing innovative things with sustainability.
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of specific technologies that we're playing at. So you hear a lot about SAF, or sustainable aviation fuels, right? And so this is really where the power of Honeywell comes into play. So a big part of enabling sustainable aviation fuel to be produced is through our colleagues in our Performance Materials and Technologies division. They're producing the chemicals upon which enable these various feedstocks to produce sustainable aviation fuel. And then that marries very well with what we're doing on the technology side, ensuring that our turbo machinery can operate with sustainable aviation fuel. A great example of that is some technology and what we exhibited with our HTF engine on an Embraer Praetor aircraft. Just very recently, one of those engines on that aircraft was operated on 100% sustainable aviation fuel. It wasn't even a blend, right? So it was the first time we've ever been able to do that. And being able to demonstrate that with our colleagues who are producing sustainable aviation fuel and what we bring in terms of the aviation industry makes it a very powerful combination. And not to mention things that we're doing in more efficient APUs, the things that we're doing in the software space to generate more efficient flight operations, right? Getting from point A to point B in the most efficient manner, burning less fuel, doing it in a sustainable way, but obviously doing it in the most safe way as well.
It sounds like some of the technologies are incremental improvements. You had mentioned software, flight efficiency software, and the like. But then others, like 100% SAF, right? Essentially, you're running perfectly clean. So is Honeywell trying to address both of those then, kind of like the near-term solutions that'll help and then long-term solving bigger problems?
Absolutely. And so it really depends upon technology maturation. No one solution is the solution for every single situation. So if you think about it, there's different modes of transportation. There are different aircraft platforms, different mission profiles, whether you're talking about a regional flight, a business aviation flight, AAM, in advanced air mobility, and what we're doing in that particular space. So there is no one, you know, silver bullet that is the solution for sustainability. And so there's some technology that's available today, sustainable aviation fuel being one of those. And there is technology that we're developing for the future, whether it's electric propulsion systems, whether it's hydrogen fuel cells, solid-state fuel cells. All of those will come into play, and they'll come into play in different ways depending upon the mission, the aircraft platform, and the specific application. So all of it is critical.
Yeah, if you go one layer deeper there, you mentioned hydrogen, SAF and electric flight. How do you think, electric motors to propel aircraft, how do you think that those, based on the mission, will kind of shake out? And, you know, what maybe goes to hydrogen? What's better for electric flight? What's best for SAF?
Yeah, so I think, again, it's going to be very dependent on the mission profile. So if you have an aircraft, like an advanced air mobility aircraft or an urban air mobility aircraft, very, very situated because of the mission profile to electric propulsion applications, right? Mm-hmm. You move into like a regional aircraft, you know, something that maybe has needs to go 1,000 nautical miles, very well positioned for hybrid electric technologies. But then you have to think about transoceanic travel, right? That's not going to be done today with electric propulsion. Hydrogen technology for that is way in the future in terms of maturation. So the best solution in that application is sustainable aviation fuel. So again, it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier. Every mission profile, every application is different. And we as Honeywell have to ensure that we are providing the technology that supports all end markets, all applications of aircraft.
And when you talk to customers in these different areas, whether it maybe it's an advanced air mobility customer who's all in on electric flight or others who may be more interested in SAF, what are you hearing from customers in terms of what they want and they need?
So there's undoubtedly a desire from their end customers to ensure that they're flying in a sustainable way. Mm-hmm. And they've all made commitments themselves, as we all have as corporations around the world, about having a net zero program associated with that. So everyone recognizes the criticality of being able to do this and to do it in a very sustainable way and to accelerate it wherever possible. So customers are continuing to ask those questions. And we go back, 2 years ago, and I'll harp on the business aviation market segment. If you started talking to customers about what was important to them and sustainability being one of those topics of importance, it would have ranked a lot lower than what it has ranked in the most current surveys that have come out. It's actually coming out to be like one of the top two or three parameters that business aviation operators feel is important for the aviation industry. So just the general sentiment, whether it's from a corporation, legislative, but most importantly, the adoption of end users and the insistence of end users to have sustainable solutions all flows through our customers and then back into us to ensure we're providing those products.
Okay. So as CEO, there's a lot of balance, that you need to try to create. When it comes to sustainability, how do you balance trying to become more sustainable versus just straight driving business results?
So I think you don't have to balance it, because you can't have one without the other. I think what most people don't realize is that even today, it's about 60% of all of our revenue that we generate comes off of our sustainable offerings. We don't talk about that as much as we should, but 60% of all of our revenue, again, comes from sustainable offerings. And if you look at our investment profiles, short-term, mid-term, and long-term, 60% of those investments that we are making are in sustainable offerings. So it is woven into our fabric. It's woven into our technology that we're developing, and it's woven into our business model. So you cannot have one without the other. And we've got to maintain ourselves to be a very agile business. So as the evolution has happened, we were really talking about sustainability solutions 10 years ago to the level that we're talking about it today. No. So we've got to be able to evolve with where the industry is evolving. And we've been doing that, again, with about 60% of our investment going into a sustainable offering.
Yeah. So, the aviation sector in general oftentimes gets criticized for carbon emissions. On the other hand, the aviation and aerospace sector has sent people to the moon, has created the jet engine, has had all these incredible innovations that have changed the world profoundly. When it comes to sustainability, do you think that aviation and aerospace as an industry could actually become a leader and not be, criticized for all the emissions, but rather flip that?
Absolutely. And I think it's paramount that we actually look at it from that perspective. Look, this is a very difficult problem to solve across the world, but we're up to the challenge. And we've demonstrated that over our rich history across the aerospace industry, our ability through our ingenuity, the innovation that comes from our employees, that we can tackle the most difficult issues that are affecting the world. This is affecting the world, and we've got the best and brightest people that can go off and do that. So I have the utmost confidence that not only within Honeywell and the solutions that we are producing to help solve this problem, but the recognition across the industry that we have an obligation and a responsibility to do this, that the industry will lead the way to being able to enable sustainable aviation in the future.
In the next couple of years, if you look at aviation as a whole, not just Honeywell, what do you think will be some of the milestones that we'll see coming that the public will notice, hey, aviation is changing here and it's becoming more sustainable?
I think a couple of things. I mean, first and foremost, you know, everyone making a commitment to that, right? Whether it's a regulatory commitment, a legislative commitment, or a corporate commitment about achieving net zero goals. But the other element about it is being able to demonstrate. So it can't just be about the words, right? So it has to be like, by this point in time, we'll have demonstrated a reduction of a carbon footprint of X. Mm-hmm. And then so many years after that, of the Y. And we've got to be able to tell our story better around that. And that's not a Honeywell issue. I mean, I think that's across the industry itself, because it's a complicated problem statement to go off and solve. And so, but we will see that. We will start to see the adoption of more usage and implementation of sustainable aviation fuel. I mean, you see it today, and United has been doing this at large in terms of commitments to buying X amount of sustainable aviation fuel for their aircraft, implementation of. So that would be, you'll see more people doing that. You'll start to see the introduction of urban air mobility and electric flight and enabling that. That'll be another step in the direction of sustainable aviation going forward. And you'll start to see the adoption of other technologies, right? So there is definitely over this horizon, very specific inflection points that will occur that will be very demonstrative of the commitment and the very demonstrative by the results that we're moving into a more sustainable aviation environment for the future.
Okay. If you flash forward a little further, even 10 or 20 years, how different do you think aviation as an entire industry will look, painted against the backdrop of trying to become more and more sustainable? If you think about the average flyer 20 years from now, how much different do you think the experience will be? You know, advanced air mobility is you know, in its infancy right now, but has massive potential. That's just one thing that I think about when you think, how will flight really change?
Yeah, so two things. You picked up on one of those, right? Advanced air mobility. So the ability to traverse 100 miles, you know, in a 30 to 40 minute horizon, right? Connecting, you know, people in that regard. But I think there's two other areas that you'll see it dramatically, and that's going to be in regional transport. So right now you have a spoke and hub strategy as part of the infrastructure within the United States in terms of aviation travel. Everybody has to go to a hub, then you connect with another aircraft, and then you move off to your final location. You can actually start looking at that strategy to be very different going forward, right? When you have regional air traffic that you can now connect point to point in a sustainable way through an electric powered aircraft or through a hydroelectric powered aircraft, I think how you get from point A to point B will be very, very different than what it is like today. And you can start to get away from this hub and spoke strategy that exists today and start looking at things being much more connected, which would affect the way we travel.
Yeah, it's exciting to think how much change there could be on the horizon, especially when you think about the fact that, like you said, the hub and spoke model for what, in the U.S., 50 plus years, really hasn't fundamentally changed. But if there's brand new and different types of aircraft in the sky that each have their own use case, then suddenly you have a whole world of opportunities to move around.
That open up for you. Exactly.
Yeah.
This is exactly right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we've covered a lot on sustainability and the industry as a whole, but we do call the podcast Aerospace Unplugged. So when you have, I don't know, what, a free 5 minutes to unplug here and there, what do you like to do in your free time when you kick back?
Look, when I was growing up, I spent most of my life growing up in Florida. And so, you know, being close to the ocean, I spent a lot of time boating. Offshore. And, you know, whether that was racing boats, which is what I did for a period of time, or doing offshore fishing. Being in Arizona, it's a little tough to do that, right? But I've morphed it a little bit, right? So my ocean in Arizona is the desert. And so what I've done now to kind of unwind, unplug a little bit, is I do a lot of off-roading on the desert, right? So very remote, terrain, rough terrain, very remote areas. Phone doesn't work. GPS doesn't work.
Extra advantage, right?
So it's actually, I truly become unplugged in those moments. And that becomes my version of what I would do in Florida offshore. I just do it now in the desert in a little bit more of a radical way and generate a lot of adrenaline at the same time.
No, that's cool. Arizona has so many beautiful places to go and see. And, you know, while Phoenix is a huge city, you don't have to go far to feel like you're really out in the desert.
That is very true.
Yeah, just make sure you have your water with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to thank Jim again for joining me on the podcast today. It was a great discussion. And I want to thank everyone out there listening at home. Now, if you want to learn more about aviation sustainability, I'd invite you to read our Aviation Ecosystem Sustainability White Paper that Honeywell recently issued. You can download a copy of that at aerospace.honeywell.com. And you can also check out some past Aerospace Unplugged podcasts. I did one on sustainable aviation fuel and another on hydrogen power for aircraft, and I'm sure you'll enjoy those too. So thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Aerospace Unplugged.